The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Oh, man. Are we having a good time? God is so good. You know, that last song we just sang, I don't know about you, but I grew up in church. And I grew up Baptist. And we used to sing those songs, and I just love singing some hymns. It takes me back. It does a lot. And but there's a lot of truth in it. So it's not just that it's nice music, but love lifted me. Mm-mm. His love has a way of lifting us up. Amen. He is such a good God. Can you believe it? Some of you might have thought you wouldn't make it to 2015. I tell you what, I still think back, and I still think about the Y2K, you know? And I'm like, wow, we're 15 years past that. We didn't know what the world was going to look like. But here we are, 2015. And I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed the journey. It's been awesome, amen? That doesn't mean it's all been great, everything just like we needed, but God has taken us through an awesome journey, and he is still on our side through all the difficulty. I was watching a show the other day, and the mother, or they realized that a loved one, a child had passed on, and I was amazed at the different dynamics of what was happening in that show, that even in the midst of having lost someone dear, there were still moments of laughter. And God just had me notice how unique he is about placing little bubbles of relief in the midst of difficult times. And I just thought, man, God, you truly are good. And we talked about one song today where he'll keep you in the valley. He'll keep you in the valley. Sometimes you don't need to be kept when you're on the mountaintop, right? You could still jack up on the mountaintop, but usually, things are gravy. But it's when you're in the valley that you really need his hand to show up strong. Father God, I just thank you for today. I thank you for these, your people being together. I thank you I can look out and see these and know that we're here for this first service, 2015. We're still here. That means you have a purpose in our lives, Father God, and I thank you that you will look over it and help us to complete it in Jesus' name. Father, the word that I bring today, I ask that it will be what you've placed in my heart. I believe it is. Anything that is of Otis, I ask that you would remove it and let it not be lasting. But what remains, let it be your truth, something we can build on and go forward, Father God, in victory. I just thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we, in the Christian world or church world, we have these little things we say, and, you know, they become our words, and sometimes we forget the meaning. But you realize sometimes when we say hallelujah, it's so funny. I was thinking about it today, because we say hallelujah. Some of us, that might be too dynamic. Hallelujah. But we say hallelujah. But it means to be clamorously foolish. Actually, you're giving him the highest praise, okay? That's giving him the highest praise. And what it looks like is way different than what our body movement is right now. It would make David's wife want to tell him to stop the foolishness, put your clothes back on, you crazy fool, you danced out of your clothes. That's what it looks like, to be clamorously foolish for God. That's not my message. That's just a little thought. As we say those things, it's just kind of funny. But, you know, today, the Lord had me go back to a word he had me share back in 2012. And he gave me a little different slant on it, but it's still, and I can't seem to get away from it at times, talking about success in the kingdom. And there's many different ways to have success in the kingdom. And he said, Otis, I want you to share, because I happen to be sharing the first message in 2015. He said, I want to set the tone. And I know Pastor Rob would be right behind this, because this time I'm taking a look at this success, and I want to deal with our attitude. It's all Brother Leland's fault. He's preached such a good message last week. It was good, yes. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your obedience and willingness to let God use you. But I was sitting there, and you said something. You were talking, and you said, you know, your attitude is very important as well. And you said that, and you might as well have thrown a javelin through my chest. Because at that moment, that's when God grabbed me and said, that's right on. That's what I want to deal with. Attitude. Positive thinking and embracing 2015 in the right way. Because trust me, before you know it, we could be right back here going into 2016 and saying, have I accomplished the things I wanted to do? Some of the things we rolled over from 2012 to 2013 to 2014, and we're rolling it over to 2015. Some things we will miss if we don't embrace the right positive attitude, amen, and have our minds in the right place. When we leave here, I'm hoping that we would just be encouraged and stirred to look at the positive end of things and to reject the negative side of it. Because trust me, if God's allowing you to go through it, there's some meat to be eaten. Amen? God doesn't let you go through territory and not learn anything from it. Amen? So God wants to do something with us. And do you realize having a positive attitude has been proven to give you longer life? It has been proven to make you more healthy. When doctors do tests and they study different people, and those who have a positive attitude opposed to those who are, you know, pessimistic about everything, and they just look down on everything, it's been proven. There's data that shows that you live longer. You live well. And how well should the church live? We have in the Word of God. Now, I know this doesn't look like the Word of God, but the Word of God is in here. Looks like an iPad, but it does have the Word of God in it. God has blessed us in so many ways and given us tools to be successful. Not just so we can be successful, but so that we can share it with others. Right? But the only way to really accomplish that is to live well in God. And who else should be living well? You know, look across the world, it should be God's people who have followed him. Amen? Because he wants to expand his kingdom. So I want to highlight someone real quick. I'm going to tell you some things about an individual in our history, what they went through. And then I'm going to ask you who you think this person is. And then you can just shout out who you think this is. And as I go through these things that happened in this individual's life, I want you to start thinking about you. Things that you've been through. Because I do know this. As we left 2014, my goodness. As we were leaving 2014, God started speaking to me very strong about the last 3 months. Not just about Bethel, but about the church. And he said that we have been so full of disappointment and seeing things not come together when we thought they were going to come together, mistiming and misinterpretation of what God was doing, that we no longer pursue him as if we expect him to do anything. Right now we're filling quota. And when we were leaving 2014, that's the state he was telling me the church was in. So last week, on New Year's Eve, we were invited to go to Grace Christian Center and do some ministry there. And while I was praying with their praise team in the back room, I didn't know it was going to happen, but as we were praying, we got done, And I said, you know, I feel the Lord has a word for us, and this is what God showed me. And he did show me this. God said this to me. In 2015, and I believe, I'm saying this here because I believe it's not just for that one church. It's for us. In 2015, you will no longer be able to erect Dagon. You will not be able to lift up Dagon. Now, Dagon, in 1 Samuel, was a god, okay, not to us, not to Israel, but in the enemy's camp, Dagon was a fish god. And when the Ark of the Covenant was taken from the people of God, they set that Ark of the Covenant right there in front of Dagon, as if the Ark was in submission to Dagon. And what happened is they left, they put it all together just like we do. We decorate our house and it all looks wonderful and we go to sleep. Oh, our house is so wonderful. And that's what they did. They put the Ark in front of Dagon and went to sleep. When they woke up the next morning, they came out. My goodness, Dagon was falling over. I think God's finger just came down and said, boop, pushed him down. And so he fell back. Now, they were hard-headed. They didn't get any clue from that. They put him back up. Let's put Dagon back up. They erected him in his right position. And then the next night, God tipped him over again. This time, Dagon got busted up. He fell on his face, cracked his head all up. His palms were busted off. Now, God's always made me notice that. This isn't my message, but this is what God was telling me about 2015. No longer erect Dagon. When he busted up Dagon, it says it clearly in the scripture, his palms were busted off. And I said, why would you put that in there? Now, first off, when we worship, being a worship leader, I teach, Ivy and I, we go all over and we teach worship to different churches and conferences. And one of the things we have learned is that there's different positions that you take depending on what you want to have to take place in worship. And when you're sending off praise, your hands should be outward like this, sending it off. Sometimes when I make a movement like I'm receiving from God, it's just automatic. Come on, God. So it's here. But when I'm sending off praise, my hands are out like this. Dagon fell like that. Busted off his palms. Amen? So God was telling me in that scripture that Dagon is to submit to me. God, that Ark of the Covenant caused so much problems in that kingdom. There was all kinds of other things that happened. They sent it back to the people on a new cart and with gifts. Amen? Now, God told me in 2015, you will not be able to erect that mess you've been erecting over and over and over and over. But the only way to do that is to grab hold of the positive thing that God has for you, the good thing that he has for you, and believe that you are supposed to receive it. Now let's look at some difficulties that one individual had. This person here, and I'll give you this, it's a man. He failed in business at the age of 21. He was defeated in a legislature race at the age of 22. First off, right away, I say he's an overachiever. Because at 21, I was still partying at OU. Well, that's not exactly true. I was coming out of the party stage. But anyway, that's not what's important. He failed in business again at the age of 24. He overcame the death of a sweetheart at the age of 26. He had a nervous breakdown. Somebody's over there talking. Had a nervous breakdown at the age of 27. My goodness. He lost a congressional race at the age of 34. He lost security. You are correct. He lost a senatorial race at the age of 45. Think about the ages and think about the type of exposure. Some of our failures are a small level, but this is in front of everybody at that level. He failed in an effort to be vice president at the age of 47. Then he went on and lost the senatorial race at the age of 49. Then finally, at the age of 52, he was elected president of the United States. And you already heard Sister Kathy saying that was Abraham Lincoln. Did anybody else know it was Abraham Lincoln? All right. I see the hands. As I was looking at this and I was just praying and I just said, my goodness, all the things that that individual went through. I mean, think about that. And there probably were other ones. These are just the ones that were highlighted. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 failures before he was elected. I don't know about you, but with each time I fall, I've learned something. I'm going to go back to that thing, and I'm not going to look at it as if I'm no good. Now, the tendency would be to say, you're no good. I tell you what, I was just missed a job opportunity, and it was in the paper. But I, you kind of like to, if you don't get the job, you don't want everybody to know you applied for it and weren't selected. You know? But let me tell you how I saw that. That was the choice they made based upon what they thought the fit was. Could I have done the job? Clearly, they told me, Otis, we're aware you could have done the job fine. And we want you to look at reapplying again because this person's going to retire 4 or 5 years out. And we would love for you to be in this. But you weren't selected now. Does that tell me I'm a failure? No. Not at all. Matter of fact, I think they would have been better off if they had hired me. I'm serious. Now, I do like the brother. I was looking at Job and Family Services. I applied for the executive director position. And sure enough, they had to put all the three candidates in the paper. I didn't know they were going to do that. Until the interview, they told me, now, you'll want to make sure that nobody's going to be surprised. But the point I'm trying to tell you is this. That was in Athens. That's kind of small scale when you're talking about here. This guy was trying to be a senator and, trying to be in Congress, and he's failing in front of a lot of people. That could really mess with his head. He had a nervous breakdown. He lost his sweetie. When you think back over your life, how many of these things can you say happened to you? But yet God still caused him to be successful. God has been setting you up and strengthening your muscles. And if you don't use those muscles in 2015, you will be back here talking about the plans for 2016 that still have just been carried over. And what God wants us to do is embrace the things he has for us. And the only way we can do that is to believe that it's ours. Amen? Amen. You've got to believe that it's yours. And you got to have a positive attitude about it. And what do I mean by a positive attitude? I know you all know this. And you've heard this over and over. But believe it or not, we can know something and still allow negativity to seep into us because of experiences that we've had over and over that has taught us it's not going to work. I'm not going to make it. I'm about to get jacked up. You know? You go to Saul and he says, I'm the least of the family, Benjamin, the lowest family, and I'm the least of these. Can't anything happen good? Gideon the same way. Moses, my speech. I need help. You know? And what it does is it causes us to miss the things God has for us. Amen? So God wants us to focus here on the things that he has told us, the things that he has for us, and as we embrace those things, we have to allow our mouth to speak positive affirmations, You know, positive words to reinforce what God has said, and position yourself so that you will receive what God has for you. I want to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 31. And I guess I better get there. You know, the funny thing is this, and I said this before, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. Some of you might not have heard me say this. When God tells you to do something, he's already written the check for it. He knows how to get it done. You just have to be in the right place. Did you watch Ohio State play? Go, boys. They were jamming. But I noticed as the quarterback threw the ball, sometimes if the receiver got tripped up in the communication, there was one where the receiver's running out like this, and he just kept going. And really, the QB, the quarterback, threw the ball as if he was supposed to do this. And so the ball was thrown. The receiver was running. Those two things are working like they're supposed to. But the message was mixed up. And so he ran his track, the QB threw his what he was supposed to do, and they did not connect because the receiver didn't look back. Now, the thing is that God is working for us. And when you get to where he tells you to get, and don't try to consider, am I qualified? Is it going to work out or not? And you just get where he tells you to, he'll put that ball, he'll give you a soft touch. Now, actually, Ohio State's QB, he threw the ball really hard. God would make sure it gets in your hands real gentle. Amen? So let's look here. In 31, if you're there, say amen. Amen. It says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. You know, when you're telling God the things you need, you're not telling him something like a list he didn't know about. You know, Ivy calls me and say, I need some milk. Okay, I didn't know we were out of milk. But when you tell God, God, I need some healing, you think he can't see you? He knows what you need. He knows the things that you have need of. In 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've heard this over and over. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all what things? All those other things that you fret over and that the Gentiles even seek will be provided for you or added to you. 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What does that mean? Sufficient for today. It's saying that the troubles for today, dealing with today is enough. Don't worry too much about tomorrow. You got to deal with today. And can I tell you what? We always plan for tomorrow, but we are not prepared for today. We say, I'm going to do. When you put on the spot and it's given to you, sometimes we drop the ball. You know, when I was going through school and we were studying and there was something we would talk about social loafing. And that was where you had so many people in the group that, some people would start loafing because you said, oh, and actually we do this at church too. Because you got a lot of people, you say, oh, they got that covered. There's many of us, so I know somebody else is going to get it. But there was also something else they called social facilitation. And basically it meant you take an ability that you have that normally you could do it fine. Add people, try to do that same ability, and you're going to jack it up. You're going to mess up. God's telling us to be concerned about how we deal with things as we go. Why do we mess up things? Things we've done over and over and we might have been able to accomplish it Do you know it's because we're running a tape in our minds of not our past successes? You got to work that muscle. That's not our fall to. That's not our default. We default to our failures, and we rehearse them. And if we're not careful, we will continue to make a monument for our failures. And we'll look at it as a trophy. I remember when that hurt. That hurt. I remember when that one happened. And so what it does is it prepares you for when God wants to do something and he says, you're the one now. Come on, here's your opportunity to get up there. You don't say, look, that glass is half full. You say, look, something's bound to happen. It always happens with me. I never win those. I never get selected for the team. I'm never given the promotion. And we shy back from our opportunities. I'm asking you not to do like Gideon. Now, Gideon did mighty things, but Gideon needed a lot of help. Tell me what to do. Show me a sign. Okay, you did that. Show me another sign. God has a plan for you. And if you will embrace it and allow yourself to see yourself in that, you will be so successful, it's going to scare you when you look back on it. Amen? Amen, are you home? Because he's telling us, do not worry. Don't be all concerned about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. God's got you covered. Amen? I said, God's got you covered. Some of you would be knocked over if you saw the things God is preparing for you. And where some of you have had failures in the past, you looked at it as a stop. And I say it was a pause. He put that bad boy on pause. It doesn't mean you're done. Because guaranteed, what God tells you to do, he's going to be able to help you through it, and you will achieve it. Think about this here. You belong to God, right? Amen. You're an ambassador of Christ. He wants to decorate you in a way that will show the world that you're his. He wants to take care of you. He wants to set you up in such a way that when people see you, they say the kingdom of God is upon us. And you're like, oh, where is it? Some of you walk into a place and people start shaping up and acting right. And you don't know it's because of you. You carried the presence of God with you. And things start to shape up. But you got to be ready to recognize and do what God tells you to do. Now, how many of you would be willing to say that God has told you to do something or speak to a person, and you knew God told you to speak to them, but you did not because you were embarrassed? Has it ever happened? It's happened to me. That's how I learned that those times where I ignore what God says do, that I go home with a fight on my hands. Because it's hard to do. He's stirring in you. Your stomach's getting all nauseous. And you know good and well God told you to do it. Just go on and do it. Amen? Go on and do what God has for you to do. Now, a part of this thing I want us to leave here thinking is this. And I don't want to get too deep into anything here. I'm trying to keep part of God showing me some things for us being positive in the future is because of our environment that we live in right now. There's a lot of unrest coming out of 2014. Okay? There's racial stress. There's financial stresses going on. There's political stresses going on. There's all kinds of stuff going on. And this isn't I'm not bringing a political message or anything, but I'm just aware that the things that happen in our world, we could have so many different talking heads that they could get us angry at each other and it could get into our church. And God said, I want you to approach this year with a positive mindset and a good attitude. Why? Because you're going to find an opportunity in 2015 to take a side and to make some judgments. Right now, African-American, I'm not saying across the board everybody, but African-Americans, many respect law enforcement, love law enforcement, know they work hard, know they're good people that are not racist. I don't think every law enforcement worker or agent is a racist. But we've seen what's been going on in the news. And it's starting to stir all kinds of things. Over the year, there's going to be opportunities to take a stance. What do you think about this? Or homosexuality? Or all these different things that are going to be happening. And we're going to have to remember in all of it to be positive and have a good attitude. Because listen, it's the attitude. Even when you're sharing truth, it's the attitude that lets God through or not. People receive your message based on your attitude. Okay? Now, so I want to share this with you, how things get confusing sometimes. I want to tell you a quick story. Because we're going to have to decide how we set our vision going forward and how we choose to judge or not judge situations. Okay? So I was reading about this story. I was just saying, God, speak to me. Show me what you want me to find. And I was going through some things and reading different stories and trying to see, God, what do you want to share? And this is one he had kind of like highlighted for me. There's a man who gets on a train. It's after work. This man gets on this train. He's taking the train back towards his home. And there's other commuters on there. And another guy's sitting reading the paper, another lady got kids with her. But this man gets on the train, and there's another individual who happened to have his iPhone there, and he's just chilling. The man who gets on the train, he sits down with his phone, and he has Rush Limbaugh blaring on the radio. It's just loud. I mean, it's very loud. Everybody else in the place, they're trying to focus. They're trying to focus on whatever they're doing, reading the paper, talking to the children, whatever. And this man has the nerve to have Rush Limbaugh blaring on his phone. This other man walks over to him and says, man, now this article has some cussing in it, but I won't share those. But man, why don't you turn that blah, blah off? And the man said, just leave me alone, you blah, blah, whatever. Not nice words. Just leave me alone. So the man's sitting there. And still, this thing is blaring. So the guy leaves him, and people are starting to get upset. And they're looking at him. It's like, this is ridiculous. So the guy who's telling the story, he takes out his iPhone, and he starts videotaping the guy. He's videotaping the man and watching him, other people going up to him. The man's looking a little frazzled, but he doesn't turn off his phone. Rush Limbaugh, just blaring and people getting offended. Some people might like it, but it's just the fact that it was loud and they couldn't focus on what they were doing. So the man's videotaping it, and the guy starts getting even more frustrated because, wait a minute, you're now videotaping this? And I guess the guy said, this is funny. I'm about to put this on Twitter. And so the man now knows, wait a minute, I'm being videotaped. He's going to put it on Twitter. And while he's videotaping him, he's telling the other people, he said, guys, I'm going to put this on Twitter. Here's my sign, you know, so they know how to find it. The man's sitting there getting so frustrated and upset. So finally, the man gets off the train. He says, please do not put that video on Twitter. That's not cool. He's all upset. Other people were getting the address. How can I find this video? Because this is ridiculous. They were hot. The man leaves. And then finally, the man who was taking the video, he gets off at his stop and he goes home. And he's telling his wife about it. And his wife says, why did you do that? You shouldn't have videotaped this man. That was rude. He already was sitting there, and you just really amplified the whole situation. You made it more uncomfortable for him. So his wife is speaking reason to him. So the man decided not to put the video on Twitter. He didn't realize all the people started texting him and giving him all this postings, saying, where's the video, man? Where's the video? We want to see it. I was telling my wife about it. I was telling my honey about it, whatever. And so all this going on, he didn't put the video on there, and people are tripping. The man who he actually was videotaping saw the video was not on there. Now, he did put a picture of him, just a still a picture, but he didn't put the video. So the man who he was taking the picture of, he said, thank you so much for not putting the picture, the video on Twitter. I appreciate you not doing that. It was such a frustrating time. It was very frustrating. And the man's like, well, why was it so frustrating for you that you didn't see to turn it off? He said, I had just gotten the phone. It's an older guy, about 50 or so. That's not old. That's young. Trust me, I'm almost 50. I'm 47. So no offense. But basically, I'm saying he had just gotten a phone and he had never had one before. So he's like, look, I'm a fire chief in New York. I just got this phone. A family member just gave it to me. I didn't know how to turn the blasted thing off. And that's what he said. And so now that guy's attitude shifted from you rude, disrespectful man, not being considerate of other people's space, to, oh, you poor thing. If I had known that, I would have come over and turned it off for you. So evidently the guy's sitting there shaking it like, and people cussing at him, and he's trying to figure out what's going on with his phone. He didn't know how he turned it on. He didn't know how to turn it off. And it took him all that time to try to figure it out. The gist of the story, and I hope you get it, is this. When you're taking a certain position just based on your view, you might judge a situation wrong. So it'd be better not to judge it at all. It'd be better to remove yourself from that, because now that man had to shift, and luckily his wife spoke to him and said, that's wrong to have videotaped that and put that on there without the man's consent. And so now this man is backing up and saying, man, I'm sorry. I feel so terrible that happened. I feel bad. I'll tell you one more quick sit. This is faster. Similar situation. Man gets on a train. Or actually, this one here is not a train, but it was a bus. Man gets on a bus, and these are true. I could guide you to the whole thing on back and forth on Twitter. But anyway, this man gets onto this bus. He has kids. There's about 3 children. The man sits down, and the children are just ripping and roaring up and down the aisle, just kind of doing their own thing and ripping. And everybody else on the bus are getting upset. They're mad. They don't know why this man's letting these children behave this way. Finally, this one individual just felt the need to say something. So they go and this man says, listen, sir, I'm sorry, but can't you tell your children are just being disrespectful, running up here? Can you do something to control them? He says, yes, I'm sorry. I didn't even realize it. Look, we just left the hospital. And they just lost their mother. We're getting on here because they just lost their mother. We're going back home. I'm surprised they even know how to act at all. That's what the man says. Now, these are extreme stories. I do realize that. But the fact is, we don't know when it happens. Can I tell you how many times I wanted to track something? And Ivy will tell you, there was a time that I would have had some road rage. Because if you cut me off or you do something that I think is stupid and dangerous to my family or could have caused us our life, I might follow you. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. But let me tell you what I had to start telling myself. I don't know if they're speeding like that, and I don't have room to talk about somebody speeding. But somebody goes flying by me or they're right on my bumper and I have to move over and I just, you know how it is. You get mad. What's their problem? I have had to tell myself now, I don't know, maybe they just got a call. Their wife's at home pregnant and they got to get her to the hospital. Maybe someone's in the vehicle that has to get to the hospital. Maybe they just got some bad news and they're trying to make it to the hospital before mama leaves, before mama goes home. I don't know. I don't know the situation. Just because I see someone with their hand up and a knife. There was this one drawing. I couldn't find it. I wanted to show it to you. I was going to put it up. But there was this one drawing of this man. His face is looking all mad. He's just hot, and he's got this knife. And he looks very threatening. And you think, without looking at the whole picture, they ask the people to tell, what do you think is happening here? And they say, this man is hostile and about to kill me. Others said, this guy's about to rob the place. You know, all these different things. But then they showed another shot. They pulled off. And it was a man standing like this, and his children were behind him. And there was a beast in front of him. And he was like this. Oh, he went from being a murderer or a criminal or somebody who's threatening to, oh, look at that man protecting his family. The pictures change. And I really believe in 2015, we as a church are going to have to be careful of how we choose to believe and what our perceptions are. If I wasn't there, I'm not judging it. I'm just going to pray. And I'm going to say, God, have your way and lead me in your righteousness. Help me to take the position, the posture, Father God, that is of you. Not of what I hear on the news, not of what I hear with my friends. And let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this here. Some of us, in doing God's work, we're going to have to be bigger and stronger in dealing with our friends. I'm still talking about a positive attitude. Here's what I mean. You've got a chance to be the light of the world. You're in a party, and you hear someone start saying, I had this one friend, and very good friend even today, and maybe you use this word. But you say, nah, man, I was talking to the guy. He Jewed me out of my money. That's not cool. That's a derogatory statement there. He Jewed me out of my money. Or you're talking, yes. Or you're talking to someone, and they say, man, I saw these two niggas just going up the street. Man, I didn't like that at all. Why did they have to come in our neighborhood? Are you strong enough, if your friends were talking that way, to say, you know what? That's not right. Hopefully you don't think it's right. I don't think anybody here would think it's right. But that's the truth. Now let me tell you this. I don't like homosexuality. I know God doesn't like it. But I can guarantee you this. My attitude and the way I embrace them is going to be the thing that determines, does God's light get to come out? Or do they say, judgment, and I gotta leave? I'm not saying I would tell them what you're doing is right. I'm saying if I had somebody to dinner and they were a couple, all right, I'm gonna feed you. You eat just like anybody else, right? You can sit at my table just like anybody else. We can talk about all the issues of the world. Now, the moment you ask me, do I accept homosexuality? I'm going to say, no, that's not a lifestyle I believe God wants us to have. But that's your choice. I love you. God loves you. Someone just had an abortion. Can they come to Bethel? How many times they got to be flogged before they get to come in? That's right. We got to love them. By the end of this year, I'd love to see this place packed. But the only way it gets packed is by not transplanting people from church to church. You got to, there's people hurting. And until we take an attitude of, look, you can be changed. This can be changed. And I'm the agent to help change. Opposed to saying, not me. I can't do that. I've never been able to sway anybody to Christ. I just can't do it. No, we got to have the right attitude. Somebody comes in here. Let me tell you, at another church I was at, I was ministering, and kind of like I am now, I always go out into the crowd. And this young lady, she was developed, looked like a cheerleader. I don't know why I said that. Not all cheerleaders are Look like a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader. No, I know, but I'm saying she could have been a cheerleader and not all that. But anyway, normally, she was well-developed, let's just say that. And I was prophesying to her. And when I went to her, I was like, oh, no. And Ivy was with me. She's prophesying with me. And this woman had cleavage all over the place. I mean, there was nothing hidden. And it was funny. My usher at that time, he even noticed, because he looked at me like, he kind of had this look on his face like, let me get a modesty blanket or cover that I can put on your top. Normally you put it bottom. But that's how it was. So here my wife, being the woman she is, she came over and helped me in that situation. Didn't condemn the woman, just covered, prayed for her. And sister, she covered it up just right. You remember that? What am I saying to you? The unchurched will come in here and won't know what's the proper attire. How am I supposed to dress? And our attitude toward them, if it's one of, what is this skank doing coming up in here, not knowing how to cover herself in the house of God, if that's the attitude that we have or our position, that will cause people to leave us. There'll be a visitor once and I'm gone. And God doesn't want that to happen. He wants us to touch lives and change people. Amen? How am I doing on time? My goodness. This is kind of like just a highlight. I have a lot here that I want to share with you. And I'm just going to extract the things that I highlight the things that I really feel we need to. But this all ties into setting our tone for this year. Have your eyes open for your opportunities. I asked the Lord just the other day when I was on my way to work. I said, I know I haven't ministered Christ to many people outside. I mean, there's been a lot here. But I said, I know I've been slacking. And I'm very transparent. I don't have a thing to feel like I need to hide. I said, I've been slacking. I said, so God, give me an opportunity today just to share Christ with one person. Give me an opportunity. Okay? And then here, I didn't get that opportunity to, and actually, I'm not going to say I didn't get the opportunity. The opportunity probably was there, but work was so busy. I was at work, and things got crazy, so I didn't get to. But last night, I'm playing at the restaurant. I play jazz, I play some piano, and I happen to play a song. Every now and then, I'll pull a song from church, because it's instrumental. They don't know what I'm playing. But it ministered to this couple, to this family. They were in the corner, and out of all the songs I played, when I was done, they started clapping. I said, that was just lovely. What was that? And normally they don't ask me the title of the song, and so they don't know if I threw in church or if I threw in a love ballad from the world. But she said, what was that? That was just beautiful. I said, ma'am, that was called Jesus at the Center. And that's what I was playing. And she looked on her face, was like, that was lovely. I said, thank you very much. Now, I didn't get a chance to tell her, Jesus loves you. I didn't get a chance to tell her about, open up the Bible. But in that moment, knowing that she heard me playing, and most of the songs she was listening to, I could tell they were enjoying it. And then the one she asked about, wow, what was that? There was something on it. And I said, that's Jesus at the Center. That was my little window to be able to share something to say, look, I am of Christ. And if you like what you've been seeing, it's because I'm His. He's at the center. I just thought it was unique that God gave me that opportunity. Amen. So listen, I also want to touch on just a couple more things, and I'm going to be done. Here are the things you need to really focus on doing in this next year if you're going to remain positive and have a positive outlook. First off, you're going to have to be optimistic, and it's not easy. We are not always, you're going to have to actually make efforts to work the muscles that are weak. I said earlier, our default, when we default to something, it doesn't take work to. It's like, I remember there was a time when I was rapping back in the day, not all rappers singing, rapping. The only way I could rap, me personally, was to throw in cuss words. So anytime I went to rapping, and I didn't rap a lot, trust me, but if I did, I was cussing. That was like 17, 16, 18, in that age. And that was my default, okay? But now, our default as a church, or as people, not just a church, as individuals, our default is to the negative, unless you've worked that muscle, okay? And what I mean by that is to actually pick things to align yourself with that were good and say, why was that good? What were you able to do? So my thing is, regardless of how smart I am, I believe that I can work my hardest and I have to change the level of work and I will be successful. It might be something that I can't just lay back and accomplish. It might be something that I really have to put some attention into and I will be able to win it. And so instead of saying something's not going to work, I say, that can be done. I say, that can be done, and I can do it. That can be done, and I can do it. Without giving too much information about me, and I've shared this before, I even embed optimism in my passcodes, my passwords, to get in different programs so that I continually say it or type it, and I'm reminded, you can do that. Now, I'll tell you an old one, because it's no good anymore. An old one that I would use would be successful. That would be my password. Successful, 2000 whatever, you know, and I might put a little symbol after. But what I'm saying to you is every day, having punched that, I start aligning myself successful. Kingdom-minded. If I was dealing with not needing healing, conqueror. So I would start to think that way, and if it doesn't align with what I believe about myself, I omit it, okay? So when somebody calls me and say, my goodness, Otis, you did awesome on this report. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And in my thinking, I'm like, yes, I do awesome on my reports because that's what I expect. And I'm going to continue to do awesome on my reports. That's just going to happen. So you have to, it's going to make you healthier to think positively. Another thing is visualization. Now listen, I better not tell you. I'm going to tell you this one, even though I haven't been so successful with this. No, I say that because I haven't been so successful with this one. I got to look at it more. But this, when I want to get back to a certain weight, there's a picture I put up. It's Otis, back when Otis was a certain weight. And I look at that, and it just bothers me. Because after a while, seeing that and seeing now, I'm like, the two don't compute. I've got to start thinking it and seeing myself in that, and I will start walking and working towards that. Another thing I do is, most people do this, if the clothes you're wearing are getting too tight, you stop wearing them and you buy bigger clothes. I try not to buy bigger clothes. Because if I buy bigger clothes, I'm going to wear into those. I got room to expand. I want to take it the other way. I want to make it uncomfortable to where I'm going to, okay, that's just not okay. So next week I'll be in here in a Speedo. But don't get grossed out and handle me with the right attitude. No, I'm teasing. But you have to see yourself doing it over and over and over. See yourself, whatever it is you're dealing with. If it's maybe you don't have a spouse, start seeing yourself with someone that is, and write it down. Who are they? A man of integrity, a man that honors his word, whatever it is, you know? Amen. Write down what it is and just believe God. We did that when we were searching for a house. We wrote down what we want and we started seeing it. I mean, you just have to visualize that. Also, you got to surround yourself with happy friends. Now, this is something I got off of this one site, and it wasn't necessarily a Christian site. So understand, you can be happy, but I'd rather have myself surrounded with people who are joyful and let that out. Happy is good, but I need people around me who are joyful. And so what I mean, and usually I pray this, if I hear about someone in a hospital, I pray that God will clear the room of anyone with a negative mindset. Those who would say, I knew you were getting sick. I knew it. Oh, God, you're dying. Oh, Lord, and it's a terrible time for you to die. Oh, but my daddy died at that age, too, and I just knew it was going to happen. I just knew. I'm saying get those people out of the way. We need somebody in there that says, my goodness, this thing is a trespasser. Come off of it now. That's what you need. You need to surround your people who have hope for the future and who will encourage you. Don't you see what God is doing with you? God has blessed you. He's called you the head and not the tail. He's blessed you in the city and blessed you in the field. He's blessed you coming and going. Don't you know? My goodness, oh Lord Jesus, I shouldn't have walked towards you. Hallelujah. Do we have a tape in? Or CD, whatever. Or are we... Stop it. That tells you. We're recording. We're recording. I'm not going to hold you much longer here, but I need to be obedient. I didn't mean to, as I approach you, it's just like, boom, I was flooded with some things for you. Listen here. You are not a speed bump. You are not a speed bump. You are not something to be passed over, over and over and over and not noticed. God's put something inside of you, and if you will allow it to be chiseled into the right place, it's going to fit perfectly in the mission that he has for you. Many have counted you out. Many have thrown you aside. I'm not sure what type of business you're in, but there's some wisdom that you have inside of you that once you allow your voice to meet the wisdom and allow it to come out, it's going to bring some wealth to you. It's going to take care of you. Amen. The Lord says to you right now, sir, when you go to speak, add 5 seconds before you speak. When you go to speak, add 5 seconds so you don't get tripped up. Okay? He has a mission for you. The enemy's been able to stimulate you in some ways and pick you and cause you to react quick. And God says he wants you to add 5 seconds. Think it through, because there's some wisdom that he has for you. And there's young people who are going to follow you. There's some young people who are going to follow you, and you're going to have an opportunity to feed them. But make sure you feed them correctly and that you're careful. Amen? I think you know. So, hallelujah. Amen. You got a word for it?
Actually, the Lord's been speaking to me about you and you. It's the same thing. You are ones that can kind of see the span of time, and in your mind, you've set markers, and you're like, I was supposed to do this at this time, and I was supposed to do this at this time, and I missed that. And the Lord said that your markers are not my markers, and it's not too late. You have not missed the boat. You have not missed my timing, says God. He says, see things the way that I see them. Look at my monument, says the Lord. It's not over. You're not done. There's more for you to do. Amen?
And just to bring some quick clarification to what I just said to you about be careful. So sometimes people can hear things and think, start adding their own. And when God says be careful, it's because accusations can come your way, and you don't want to allow anything you've done, you don't want to allow your good to be evil spoken of. it's not always a pure mindset that someone will come and make an accusation. But if you allow there to be enough evidence there, people will draw their own conclusion. And so God says, steer clear of those things. Amen? Hallelujah. So, yeah. There's one other thing I need to add. To having people around you who are joyful, happy, encouraged, hopeful. Let those people be around you. And the last thing is, you need to journal. You need to have a journal where you write down the things you are grateful for. Because too often, and you can let the music flow. Is it still running? Yeah, you were right on time when you played it. Too many times the enemy will try to get you to focus on the negative, as I already mentioned. But if you will write down those things you're grateful for, you will have those ready. Every day, write down 5 things that you're grateful for. Because it will help you argue when the enemy tries to pull you down. Those things, if you deal with those and be faithful about it, trust me, you'll start to see a positive attitude. And you'll look at things as if you can get it done. When God gives you a gift, you'll look at him and say, thank you. And not look like, oh, did you mean to give it to that guy? No, he meant to give it to me. Oh, cool. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.